Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you today. I pray that you are having a great start to your morning. And if not, that's why we are here. We're going to open up the Word of God together and see what it would say to us to help encourage our faith and strengthen us and get us started on the day right. I never take it for granted that you join me on these lives, whether that's on the live feed or watching the replay or Spotify or Pioneer Television Network, wherever you're tuning in from. We just greatly appreciate it, and we're so thankful that you're here. I don't know how if your kids are going back to school and all of that stuff yet. Our kids are back in that rhythm. They started back last week, but yesterday, my youngest son, Bob, who's 3, started at a new daycare center. And we had to make a change this year because just with our schedules, this center is closer to the church, and it'll just make things a little easier on us. And I didn't realize that he was going to struggle as much in the transition as he is. And so for any parent who's ever dropped your kid off at daycare or just had to drop your kid off probably anywhere gets this struggle. But when you're dropping him off and he's screaming on top of his lungs, "Daddy, no, Daddy, no." And you got to set him on the floor and just walk away. And man, it makes it a hard morning. And I told Sarah, I said, "This is it. This is why we're starting a daycare center here at the church, because enough is enough." He needs to be able to walk over to Dad's office whenever he wants to. I can't do it. But this daycare center, it's funny, they have a live feed camera that you can watch of the classroom. And if one parent's in, it kicks out the other parent. So all day, especially yesterday, I keep kicking Sarah out and she keeps kicking me out because we're logged in watching. And you know, where there's parents, you're like, "Why is nobody with him? No one's talking to my son. Somebody get over there and help him." But anyway, so pray for us as we navigate that change. And he'll do good. I know he will. But yeah, it makes mornings a little bit interesting and tough to get started. But anyway, so yep, that's what's happening in our world. So what's going on in your world? Hopefully you're having a great start. I don't know. I know it's not even September yet, but feels like fall has kicked off here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The weather's been a little bit cooler, nice crisp mornings. Feels like the transition is happening. And me and my sister were texting each other the other day back and forth with a bunch of pumpkin stuff, desserts. And I'm like, we got to figure out how to get some of that stuff. Like the weather is screaming pumpkin already, at least in my world. And so anyway, you didn't get on here to hear me talk about my kids and pumpkins, but we're going to get into the Word of God. I do want to remind you, if you're watching on a platform, that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, do all that you can do, send the broadcast out to as many people as you can. We want to keep this message going forward. All right. Well, I want to talk to you today. You know, it's interesting because somebody said to me, you know, is it hard to find stuff to talk about, you know, multiple times, you know, you're kind of doing a whole sermon every day of the week. And I say yes, but yet, not, because I have just found, as long as I just talk to you all about what God's talking to me about, and that usually works pretty well. And so for me, I've been praying this week and kind of been just trying to reframe my brain to talk about the God of order. I've been praying along those lines and just asking God for some tangible things that I can do to help bring order back into my world and back into my life. And so that's what I've been praying through, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because have you ever noticed that confusion never brings peace? Confusion never brings peace. Like, I don't know, you'll lose your keys, you're late, everything just kind of feels out of control, it steals your joy. Just chaos is breeding in your world. Now, again, if you have multiple children, if you know, anything like that, it can just seem very confusing and chaotic. And, you know, we have a lot happening in the next few weeks here at Hope City Church and stuff going on with the network. And then it felt like, you know, that, man, there's just kids going back to school, Bob's new daycare. It's a lot going on. And I've been saying, Lord, I know you are not the author of confusion and chaos, but you are the author of peace. So I've been saying, Lord, teach me about divine order and things that I can do in my world to help bring divine order. Because what I've discovered is confusion and chaos and feeling stressed out and feeling, you know, just like you're running with a chicken with its head cut off, so to speak, right? Like, that's not God's plan for us, right? God is a God of order. And 1 Corinthians 14:33 teaches us that. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. He's not the author of confusion, but God is the author of peace. So today we're going to lean in and we're going to look at how divine order can replace confusion with peace, and how I believe it reflects God's actual very nature, and how we can bring his order into every part of our lives, our homes, our churches, our personal walk, our jobs, just having that divine order set up in our life to help us navigate, to keep, you know, the God of peace ruling in our hearts, right? So the first thing we need to see is that God is a God of order. God loves order, right? You could find this the whole way back, Genesis chapter 1. What did it say? The earth was without form. It was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. God said, that's not good. So what did he say? He said, I'm going to speak and let there be light, right? So before God ever created man, he brought form and structure to what was chaotic. He brought form and structure to what was chaotic. I mean, think about just that for a second. Think about how the earth is tilted exactly, I think it's 23.5 degrees or something. And science says if it shifted, we one way or the other, we'd either freeze to death or burn to death. But God said, when I bring this chaos, that this darkness that's hovering over the face of the deep, when I bring it into order, I bring it into such an order that it's at an exact 23.5 degree tilt, which will be the perfect temperatures that this planet needs, right? Like, that's divine order. There's an essence of being specific in that. It wasn't just chaos and thrown together, right? Consider that the earth's, the ocean obeys the pull of the moon, right? Seasons come into divine cycles. As I said in the beginning, here we are coming out of one season, you know, getting ready to walk into the fall season. Jesus said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There's a divine order. There's a divine structure. There's a divine pattern and path that the world moves and operates in, right? God designed all of that to function in a specific order. He set the stars into order. So when you consider that, come on, your Tuesday chaos, God has the ability to bring in order. And I just say this because sometimes I think we limit God's working in our life because we assume, we make assumptions about God, and we assume that either A, God doesn't care. Like, you know, well, he doesn't care if my job's chaotic, and he doesn't care, you know, if my mornings are stressful. God, he's God. He's got to, you know, worry about world hunger and peace, and, you know, and he doesn't care about that. But the Bible says the opposite. It says he does care about those things, that he knows the number of hairs on your head, that he sees every tear that falls from your eye. And if he knows that, right, it says that he sees the birds, he feeds the birds of the air. And like, come on, if he knows all of that, he knows about you and he cares about you. So either we think that God doesn't care, or we think that God just, you know, doesn't, he'll save my soul, but, you know, he doesn't have much instruction on how to have more order in my life, right? But that's what I wanted to bring you back to Genesis for, because from the beginning, God's been a God of order. And so, come on, if my life feels like it's spinning out of control, it's chaos, my schedule's out of alignment, I'm running here, I'm running there, I'm stressed out, I'm confused, I'm forgetting things, it just feels like my life is out of order. Who better to talk to? Come on. Who better to turn to than to turn to the one who stood on nothing and said, Earth, come on, 23.5 degree tilt, stars, here's where you need to be. Moon, you stand here because you're pull the tide. Earth, you spin at this exact rotation so that there's always a seed time and there's always a harvest and there's always a season coming. There's always, come on. That's the God that we serve. So you don't think he has wisdom and insight to step into our chaos and say, Lord, come on. I need peace. I need order. I need structure. I need you to do something in my life, something in my world to pull all of this together. Come on. If he's a God of order in creation, he will be a God of order in your life. The Bible says we have not. Why? Because we ask not. He says just knock and the door will be open to you. Seek and you will find. I want to encourage us today that don't just shut this off and think, well, God don't care about that. He says, of course I care about that. I want you walking in peace. I want you walking in divine order in your life that you know exactly where you're supposed to be. Why? Because when we're out of order, when there's chaos breeding in our life, A, we're so frustrated, we can't hear God, right? We can't feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit. You know, what we're supposed to be focusing on, we're not focusing on. Right, like just this morning, and I'll be real transparent with you. All the kids are getting into one car with Sarah. Bob's screaming, getting into the other car with me. You know, there's like five different breakfasts being served, like because everybody's doing their own thing. And the Holy Spirit stopped me, and I thought, I didn't even pray with them this morning, and I don't think I prayed with them yesterday. And it was always my habit to pray with everybody, bless their day, pray for them as they go about their day. But just, you know, and here's what some of it can look like. My daughter, Judy, is melting down because my daughter, Loretta, somehow she got a pair of Judy socks in her dresser drawer and she put them on and Judy saw it and just was not having it. So there's tears, there's melting down, you know, there's just drama going on everywhere. And in the chaos of all of it, it was like, you know, one of the things that I wanted to be intentional about and purposeful about is laying my hands on my kids, blessing their day, blessing them, reminding them that they are called of God, that they're leaders. Here, we're yelling and get in the car and stop crying and, you know, whatever. You get it. If you have kids, you get it, right? And God's not, and so my point is, I what I feel like God's calling and leading me to do and you know, leading my home and blessing my children is not happening. Why? Because our mornings are chaotic. It's chaos. But come on, we serve a God who can stand on nothing and bring peace and order to the universe. So I believe that God can give me some strategy and insight. That same God can give me some strategy and insight on what I can do and what I need to do to help realign my mornings so that they're productive, that they're fruitful, that I'm fulfilling the plan and call of God, that my kids aren't leaving the home in tears and crying and in chaos, but they're leaving the house blessed with their dad and mom laying hands on them, blessing them, speaking life over them. Come on. I'm not saying that it's been a reality in my world yet, but that's what I believe God wants. I'm telling you, I'm preaching what he's talking to me about, right? Philippians 4:6 reminds us, don't worry about anything. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So order and peace go hand in hand. Order and peace go hand in hand. If you have no peace in your life, it could be that your life is out of order. Now, your mornings may not look like mine. You might be waking up, sitting on the deck, watching the sun come up, sipping your coffee, being in the presence of God, and that is wonderful. But your life can be out of order in a different way. Maybe, you know, you're doing your work-life balance is out of order. Your Sabbath rest is out of order. Anytime there's something out of order, it's going to cost us our peace. So God says order brings peace. Where there's order, there is peace. Come on. Disorder and chaos always produce anxiety. Isn't that something? I was talking with someone the other day in the medical field and just how anxiety and anxiety medications and all of that stuff are skyrocketing in our society right now. And I'm not against anxiety medication. If you need that and the doctor prescribed that to you, take that. But what I'm saying is previous generations just didn't experience it as much. And some of it is because it's It's we're such a fast-paced society. We've got the world at our fingertips. We're always on the go. And what happens is our life gets out of order. And what does it happen? It costs us our peace. And where there's disorder, come on, it always produces anxiety. Joyce Meyer puts it this way. I read one of her devotions the other day. She said, where there is order, there is anointing. But disorder clogs the flow of the spirit. Disorder clogs the flow of the spirit. Come on, and I love that because that's how I feel. I feel like, all right, when things are in order, I even hate that, like, you know, as a pastor on a Sunday morning, right, when things are in order and happening, I feel good. I feel the anointing. I feel like I can preach. But sometimes when it's like everything's breaking, nothing's working, everything's out of order, it's chaotic. And then I like my whole insides are just turned around and I got to get up there and somehow deliver the word of God. And it's like, Jesus, help me. And he always does. But my point is when there's order, come on, there's anointing. But disorder clogs the flow of the spirit. Cheryl says, yep, where there's order, there is peace. That's right. Nate chatted in and says, when it feels off, take time to rest and reset with God. Let him speak to you. Yes. And then Cheryl said, the God of peace desires that we live in peace. Absolutely. He does not want us clogged. He doesn't want disorder. He doesn't want destruction, right? He wants the anointing to flow. He wants us to be in peace. He wants us to move in divine order, right? Like, imagine your kitchen. When it's clean and organized, you enjoy cooking. And maybe you don't still enjoy cooking, but you understand what I'm saying, right? But when it's messy, there's a sense that you just get overwhelmed. And it's the same thing with your heart. Like when you're just life and your heart and everything is just out of order and there's chaos, it stops the flow of the spirit. But peace flows where there is order, and order reigns. So ask yourself, where in my life am I tolerating clutter? Is it physically, emotionally, spiritually? What's blocking God's peace in my life? Is there a specific thing that you just, you know, it's just out of order right now? Maybe it's not even a specific thing. Maybe it's a specific time. Like for me, it's like we got to master as a family. We have to master mornings. We got to master these mornings. We got to get better. And so Sarah and I were talking about, you know, maybe the kids need to go to bed a little bit earlier so that, you know, we're not having meltdowns. And Sarah's great at this. You know, she'll have, you know, Bob's clothes laid out and she does the lunches the night before, but we're talking this week that maybe the girls need to start laying their clothes out the night before and just some tangible things, because sometimes the weapons of our warfare, yes, are spiritual, but sometimes the warfare can be fought and waged and won out of the tangible things that we do. Right? Yes, we take authority over the enemy. We take authority over chaos, right? But sometimes a little bit more preparation. Sometimes saying, all right, what can we do? Can we lay their clothes out? Can we, you know, and I've been trying to teach Sarah, but encourage her because she's a mom at heart. So she's like, you know, getting everybody's breakfast together. And I'm like, listen, two of our four children can get breakfast themselves. That'll make your morning easier. Come on, he's 10. He can do it. The other one's 7. She can get up. She can get her cereal. They can make a bagel. They can do whatever they need to do. Take that off your plate so you can breathe for a minute. Right. So I'm saying this to you is there a time sometimes of day? You know, there's a whole teaching I did a few years ago. Maybe I'll bring it out this week. And it wasn't so much a teaching as a study that I read about, but it was talking about finding your even creative window, that everybody's creative window is different. Some people are morning people, like they can go into the office and it's just like they're productive in a window during the day. And some people are, you know, not like I've realized for me, that time period really between like 2 and 5, I light up. It's just like the product, you know, it just all happens, right? So like what this study was showing is when you can find that time about yourself, when you can kind of evaluate, when am I most productive? Well, schedule your day around that time of productivity. Like if you've got a project you got to get done, make sure you plug it into your schedule right there. Make sure that it happens. Make sure that it's you know, because sometimes we come in the morning and there's, you know, and it's, and I'm like trying to do it and it's not working. And there are other studies that will, you know, teach you different things, like, you know, start with the hardest task and then move forward to the easiest task. Don't push the hardest things off. So what I'm saying is, yes, this is spiritual. There's a God of order. But what God did is he spoke order into the natural when he formed the worlds, right? And sometimes we have to build into our natural order. Like one thing I'm looking at doing right now is because my schedule sometimes can be really chaotic. And I thought, you know, there's all this AI technology and I've tried multiple different calendar things and, you know, I forget one thing and then, you know, there it is and it's out the window. So I didn't do it yet, but I'm looking at getting this AI calendar that, you know, programs, you know, what you got to do. It asks you what your productive window is. But what I'm liking about it, and I haven't used it yet, but what I'm liking, what it says that it will do is if you don't check something off the list, and I'm a big list person, it'll take it and plug it in somewhere else. So it's not like the missed task just becomes the missed task, which then breeds disorder and chaos later on. It'll rearrange your schedule to say, hey, you still got to do this week. You know, we'll see how it works. I'll let you know. But my point is there something in your life that's out of order? Are you spending too much time at work? Are you spending too much time on the couch, right? Are you not exercising and putting your body in motion? Are you not planning for your day? Are you not, you know, whatever it is? Or is there, like I said, a time of day where it's just like, we got to get this down. So God wants us to live in peace and he wants us to live in order. Colossians 1:16, everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Again, God's order is not random. It was intentional, consistent, and trustworthy. Even, I think it's Revelation 4, shows us God's throne room in perfect order, elders in their place, angels declaring, holy, holy, holy. In divine rhythm. It happens on a schedule, happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but there's a divine rhythm. Elders are where they're supposed to be. Angels are where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing, declaring in a perfect rhythm, holy, holy, holy. Even Jesus, I think about this, he prayed before choosing his disciples. And even when, you know, he put purpose behind it. Even when his mother was at the wedding trying to get him to turn the water into wine, which he did, but what did he say to her? He said, my hour has not yet come. Like he was saying, I will never be rushed ahead of the Father's plan. I'll never be rushed ahead of the Father's plan, right? So when we reflect, reflect disorder, we misrepresent Christ. But when we walk in order, again, I'm going to make this real tangible, when we're late all the time, when we're disshuffled, when we forget everything, and it's like, the Bible says, well, even when you work, you're to do it as unto the Lord. When our projects are late and nothing's on time and everything's just chaotic in our lives, we're not reflecting the order, the character, and the peace of Christ. And I'm not saying you won't have stressful times and stressful environments, but come on, it says peace will rule and reign in our hearts despite stressful circumstances. Why? Because we serve a God of order. And when we're obedient to Christ, come on, and we have the Holy Spirit. What greater asset? I know I've talked about an AI calendar, but what a great asset to say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me structure my day today. Holy Spirit, I feel like there's no way I can accomplish this. Will you help me today to make a list, make an order? Help me live in peace. Help me say no. Sometimes that's the biggest thing to create an order and structure and peace in your life is to say, you know what? In this season, we've talked about this on the lives, but I have to be intentional. Here's what God's asked me to do in this season. And I can't pick up more right now. I apologize. I love what you're doing. I love what it's about, but I can't pick up anymore in this season. Why? Because I have to protect my yes. Because when God says, hey, I need you to say yes to this, I got to give it my yes. And when I give it my yes, I have to give it my all, which means there has to be things in my life that I have to give a no because if I say yes to it, it's going to pull my attention, and my yes over here is now going to be diminished. You following me? Sometimes we got to restructure. We got to cut some things out. Yep. So Cheryl said, let every area that is in disorder come into peaceful order today. I agree with that. Sure. We declare that in Jesus' name, a God of divine order. So we got to represent Christ well. We got to be people who have structure, who have order built into our lives. We're not flustered. And we understand James 3:16 says that the enemy exists to bring confusion. And where there's confusion, every evil thing is there. Or I think the scripture actually says, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Where there's confusion, every evil thing is there. So Satan thrives in chaos. He thrives in broken homes. He thrives in divided churches. He thrives in confused minds. He uses disorder as a doorway for every evil thing. But we got to be careful. And come on, this is like tangible in our lives. Like, come on, when your house is confused and there's, you know, what, like, if you've been like mine, it's like, you know, kids are in and out, stuff's happening. And before you know, it's like, where's the dog? And the dog's been outside running around unattended for like an hour. And you're like, I didn't even know. Why? Because there's such chaos. Again, we can't avoid some of that. But I'm saying, use that as a spiritual illustration. When your life is in such disarray and chaos, it's an open door for the enemy to say, what they're not going to see is they're not going to see the attack coming. What they're not going to see is that their immune system is starting to get worn down. And I'm going to step right in and make every advantage of a weakened immune system. Come on. What they're not going to see is I'm going to get them so tired spiritually that their word time is going to slip, their prayer time is going to slip, and their spirit is going to begin to diminish. And when your spirit diminishes, what happens? Your flesh increases. The old man, that dead nature, increases. That's why the Bible says we don't live after the flesh, but we live after the spirit. So if he can get our spirit to decrease in strength and in vitality and you know, being strong, what happens? He comes in and he will use our flesh to his advantage. So disorder produces. Tanisha said, interesting, peace is a part of our armor, 100%. Peace is a piece apart. Peace is a piece of your warfare. Peace is a part, a vital part of your warfare. And maybe for 2 years, God keeps showing me this, but you know, I grew up in a prophetic type of church and ministry, and man, we were doing spiritual warfare all the time, and I love it, love it. You know, and we were declaring stuff and singing that bridge 80 times because we're pushing back powers of darkness and truth in all of it. Love it. Go there. But what God's been teaching me in this last year or two is sometimes spiritual warfare isn't singing the bridge 80 times. Sometimes spiritual warfare is saying no because I have to maintain my peace. Sometimes spiritual warfare, I've taught some of our people this, is smiling when your enemies are coming against you, holding your joy. Nope, the devil wants me to get bitter. He wants me, this is a ploy of the enemy, so I'm going to smile, I'm going to be in joy, and I'm going to love my enemies because that's an act of spiritual warfare. Come on, giving and being faithful in our giving and in our tithing when the enemy's coming in like a flood in our finances is an act of, I'm going to remain faithful and steadfast. That's an act of spiritual warfare. But sometimes just saying, whoa, 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 it's out of order. It's out of chaos. I got to pause for a minute. Come on, because what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to use chaos as a doorway for every evil thing. I mean, come on, just look at today's culture. There's constant chaos in the world, in the media, political disorder. I mean, you know, Texas is, you know, realigning some of its states, and now California is trying to do a realignment so they can take back the Senate or the House. Whatever. Like, it's just so chaotic and just disorder. The family unit has broken down over the decades. I know it's chaotic and disorder, but can I say it's not random? It is a spiritual ploy and tactic of the adversary. get people so busy, create so much chaos, create so much disorder, so that people do not see what the enemy is doing in our world. That's why you go back 50 years and some of the things that, you know, if you, you know, back 100 years, whatever, and just said to somebody, here's what would be happening in 2025, right? Well, no, people would never allow that to happen. Yeah, they would, because they are so thrown in chaos and disorder that they don't even recognize it until it's too late. But in a previous generations where things were a little bit slower, life was had a little bit more peace, you could spot disorder faster. Somebody came into your world and it just was like, you know what? They just bring a bunch of mess with them. I don't got any, they're, you know, now we don't recognize it. We don't see it when it comes in. Why? Because we're so past. So if disorder is the enemy's playground, then order is God's platform to display his peace and his power. That's why the Bible says we don't fret. Like, come on, you get a bad report from the doctor, peace and order is God's platform to declare healing and victory. Right? I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to throw my hands up. I'm not going to be dismayed. Why? Because I have confidence and I have peace that God is a man of his word. Come on. So real quick today, let me give you four ways to realign with divine order. And I know we've already talked about a lot of ways, but number one, spiritual order. The Bible says that you would prosper and be in health, which are tangible physical things, your prosperity, your financial prosperity, your home prosperity, your job prosperity, and that you would be in health, physical health, mental health, in correlation with how your soul is prospering, with how your soul is prospering. If your life is in disarray and you're not having peace, you're not practicing the Sabbath, you're not spending time in the word, you're not spending time in prayer, your life is rushed, you're not doing what God's asked you to do, your soul, therefore, is not prospering. And the outworking of all of that will be in direct correlation to physical health, financial health, emotional health, you know, job relationships, you know, family relationships, they're all going to be in disarray. But what often happens is we then try to work overtime to fix all of those other things instead of pulling back and saying, where's the source of the chaos? Where have I really gone off track? Well, I've gone off track in my word time. Now my soul's not prospering. What I need to make sure is happening is my soul is prospering. And as my soul is prospering, all of these other things will just fall into alignment. Come on, it'll work. It'll work. All right. So spiritual order, put God first every day. Make sure you're spending time in his word. Make sure you're seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you in time and in good order, right? So relational order. We got to make sure we're walking in forgiveness and love. You can look at Ephesians 4, 32, that we're walking in forgiveness and love. If you're holding bitterness, if you're holding a grudge, if you have resentment to other people, come on, the Bible says that God can't forgive you unless you're forgiving other people. So you might have all kinds of stuff happening in your life because forgiveness has not been extended to you. Why? Because you have refused to forgive somebody else. So make sure that you're not holding a grudge, you're not holding bitterness, that you're not, holding on to all of that junk. Why? It's going to cloud your soul. It's going to cloud your spirit, going to block divine order, right? Number three, financial order. Come on. I tell people all the time, listen, you're not going to get on here and hear me, trying to sell you, beg something. We put out offers for people. If they want to get a book, we always give them something. Great. If they don't, God will provide for us. But I often tell people, because, you know, people have financial issues, financial problems. And listen, I'm not a high pressure person like that. But the fact of the matter is, and I tell our church this all the time, you have a choice. You can either operate in God's kingdom financially or choose not to. The choice, you don't have to. You don't have to give God a dime. You don't have to operate in his economy and do it on your own, and more power to you. But if you want the blessing of God on your finances, then you have to operate in God's principles of economy in his kingdom. And that says you honor God with the tithe. You bring your offerings. We make sure we take care of the orphans and the widows. That is that even in our finances, God is first. So when that gets out of order, what do most marriages struggle and fight over? Money? Unforgiveness? Right? Like money, like if your money's out of control, it's very hard to move forward in peace. And again, so if you just say, hey, Pastor, I don't believe in that tithing giving, well, more power to you. Do it your way. That's fine. I'm just here to tell you that God's economy says that we bring the tithe into the storehouse. We bring our offerings. And when we do, there's a blessing released on our finances. Scripture is very clear about that. So again, it's just another area for us to look at and say, if my money's out of whack, I'm not going to be at peace. I'm not going to be able to do what God's called me to do. I'm not going to be able to live how God calls me to live in peace and in, just solidness, being able to bless and help other people. Why? Because my money's out of control. So that's a place we need to bring order. And then time order. Come on, this is a big one. Keep a rhythm of rest. Keep a healthy work-life balance. Work hard, yes, but play hard. Rest hard. Make sure that, you know, your life and your day is, you know, isn't just surrounded by work, work, work. I mean, there has to become a time. God taught us that in Scripture, that we Sabbath, that we rest, that we turn it all off, that we engage with our loved ones, that we just tone it down for a minute. Take a vacation. Do whatever you got to do. So today, write down one area of your life that feels out of control, right? Maybe I said it's an area or it's a time of day that just feels out of control, right? And invite God to bring order there. Pray over it. Invite the Holy Spirit. Speak to me. What are some tangible things, Holy Spirit, that I can do in my finances, that I can do in the realms of my health or my time management, or, you know, evenings are chaotic for our house. What can I do? Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit, because remember, God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. God wants to bring order to your chaos, clarity to your confusion, and peace to your storm. Let me pray for you today. Father, I pray for every person now, Lord, that maybe they can identify today some areas in their life where they say, yeah, there's been some chaos and confusion, some stressful things that just seem to be out of control or out of whack in my life. Holy Spirit, we release them to you today, and we ask for your help and your guidance. We ask that you would bring order and structure to our life, order to every aspect of who we are. That we wouldn't be shuffled, that we wouldn't be dismayed, that we wouldn't be late, that we wouldn't be forgetful, that we wouldn't be so overwhelmed with things that we lose track of our real call and our real identity and what you've put us on assignment to do and to be. So would you speak to us today as we submit these things before you? Help us rely on you. Give us a game plan on how we can bring structure and order into what can seem to be a very chaotic and dismayed world. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'll keep being on with you all week this week as we open up the Word of God together. Be blessed. Have an amazing day. Let's get our lives in order. Let's move forward in this new season as we step into September. Come on, let's get a good structure and order in our lives. And remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.